Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys on a Wednesday morning. And it's post 4th of July, so we've got that midsummer blues feel, Trevor. You know how like it feels like it just started, right? And then you look up and it's already, you know, 4th of July. And for you, it's not a big deal, as we've talked about often, because you live in Florida. I was telling my wife yesterday, I'm not sure I can live in Pennsylvania my whole life. Even though, you know, friends, family, grew up here, love a lot of things about here. I get seasonal depression in the wintertime, man. Wait till you have to do this podcast in the wintertime. You're going to want to be out of here with me. I mean, it's bad.
People get seasonal depression for the other reasons when they live down south, because we don't have seasons. It is simply hot
and beautiful.
More hot. Well, so yeah, don't get me wrong. Scenery is fantastic. Pictures look awesome, all that stuff. But some days you don't feel the humidity and the temperature with the pictures that you get to see. So sometimes it doesn't, you know, when I'm out at Bucks camp, sometimes I have to dress up a little bit nicer, mm-hmm. you know, wear pants and collared shirt and all that stuff. And you got to pick which clothes you wear. And always have a backup when you live in Florida. So it does come with somewhat of an inconvenience. So
You've seen snow because of traveling before,
yes.
I'm assuming. But
yes.
Have you ever seen it in Florida?
No. There's only, I think, one time in history that it's ever somewhat snowed in the middle of Florida. And obviously the snow didn't even hit the ground because it's just too hot. But I think there was a point – In the 1900s, that one time it did snow, and it was recorded that it was snowing, but obviously the snow never got to the ground. It just turned into rain. But
yeah, be right back. I'm gonna post my house for sale, and you'll have a neighbor in a couple weeks.
That's what I talk about every time we go. Every time I'll go like on vacation to a place that has snow, it's like, oh man, this is cool. I'm glad I get to leave. You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's that part. It's like the oh man, this is cool to be around for a week.
I live in the mountains of PA. It's nice here in the summer. I love it in the summer, honestly, because it stays pretty cool, but it doesn't rain as much, I feel like, here. And but in the wintertime, man, it's like there was a winter when I first moved to where I live now. There was a winter. It was 2013 to 2014, that winter. And it was in the negative degrees for at least 2 weeks straight. Yeah. So, and we get hit with snow. Usually last winter wasn't actually that bad, but we usually get at least 2 or 3 feet at some point, and it's miserable. You have to dig our cars out and everything. So definitely get the seasons up here. We got a Florida guy to talk about today. I shouldn't say a Florida guy. I should say a Florida State guy, because there's a big difference.
Guy who plays Florida. Thank you.
Yes. A guy who plays football in the state of Florida.
There you go.
Derek Nnadi, right?
Yep.
I mean, power player. He plays nose for them. I didn't see a whole lot. I watched 3 games, I think. I didn't see a whole lot of movement. He was a head up, or he was a one technique. I didn't see much three technique work, maybe a snap or two here and there. He's about 6 foot. I think he's a little over 6 foot. NFL draft scout has him at. And that looks about right when you're watching him. You know, he's a powder keg. He's that fire hydrant nose tackle build. Only 312, but think about that. On a 6 foot body, that's pretty good. Like, that's, I'm fine with him, and he's probably going to be a nose tackle, I think, in the NFL. I'm fine with him in that role because he eats space. He's real leveraged, thunderous punch right off the snap, gets into his opponent's chest, holds that gap, not going to get bullied around. I mean, his whole body is just like the same width all the way down. Like, his legs are tree trunks, and his arms are huge. His torso, his upper torso is stacked. I mean, he's just kind of a big ball of muscle that just holds the middle of the defense and pretty consistently wins his gap. He's a really good technician, I thought, and man, is he powerful.
What do you think about him? And Does he remind you at all of Eddie Goldman? Just to, like, as two Florida State guys, does he remind you at all of Eddie Goldman?
Yeah, both. I remember both, and I'd have to look back at all my Goldman notes. I was definitely a fan. I think Goldman, I thought, had more upside and more ability as a pass rusher.
I do think that Goldman was faster, but I kind of saw little flashes of Eddie Goldman here.
They both had great arm extension, I felt like. That's a big thing for me. The ability to separate yourself from the guy that's trying to block you, and to, I think you can get off blocks a little bit easier that way. Goldman was a lot bigger; he had a lot longer arms, I think.
When did hold on? I'm looking something up right here because when I was watching, I think Louisville tape for Derek Nnadi, and I saw Niles Lawrence-Staple like out at the screen at me like a couple times, and I was like, wait, holy crap, this is him. Yeah. So I don't know, for whatever reason that reminded me of him. He plays for Cleveland Browns now. But I was like, I almost thought it was before they said his name, I was like, wait, should I be watching this guy's tape instead? Should I tell John to watch this guy? And he's already in the NFL. Yeah,
he was late. He was, because he's small or something, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, I think he's 6'6".
Yeah. Goldman was almost 6'4", 336 at the combine. So massive difference in size. Right. But you're right. They play essentially the same role, and they play very similar styles. But I think Goldman has better physical athletic tools. I think as a pass rusher, I remember watching Goldman thinking he could potentially give you something in the NFL, because I thought he used his hands really well. Nnadi's a lot simpler, I think, in that regard. Not that he can't help you, but I don't know that I see great upside for him as a pass rusher.
Yeah, I think, and you and I talked about this a little bit right before we went on. It's like, these are two guys, and we'll get to our second guy in a second, but these are kind of two guys that we like, but I'm not, you know, we're not jumping on the table for either of these guys. I mean,
they're really good at what they do. It's kind of like yours yesterday. Yeah, it's just, they're really good at what they do, you know?
Yeah, and I think it is a little bit different because with a lot of their plays, we're seeing them, and I don't know how watching from one to the other, if it makes a difference or if it should make a difference, but the two guys we watched yesterday in Lotulelei and Vea, they are strictly like point of attack guys, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get moved off the snap. They hike it, they're at the line of scrimmage, they rip off their guy, and they're stopping the ball if it gets to them. These guys have a little bit more penetration to them, but also, like, I see them get pushed back a little bit in the run game. So it was almost like at times I was watching them and thinking, oh, man, I wish you would have held better there. And then I'm thinking in my head, well, maybe that's just because I watched two of the best that we had to offer yesterday, and I shouldn't really be taking it against these guys. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the word is good, especially for Nnadi. I think he's good at getting penetration. I think he's good at holding the point of attack, but I wouldn't say he's great. I wouldn't say he's like a specialized guy in that sense. So what do you do with a defensive lineman like that? I mean, you know he's going to play in the NFL. You know he's going to get picked, but I don't know if I saw a guy that I'm going to pick top 50 with him.
Yeah, I think it comes down to need. In a vacuum, what he does. Now, see, I think he's really good at the point of attack. I think he's really good at holding his gap, and even doubles, he didn't face a ton in the three games I watched, but I thought he did a pretty good job because there's just not a lot of surface area, hard to find those latch points if you're looking for the leverage to create that leverage and drive at the point of attack as an offensive lineman. I think he does a good job of kind of fending that off a little bit. So I liked him a lot in that regard. I just don't – you're not getting this – again, we talked about the difference between creators and preventers kind of yesterday, guys that can hold the point of attack, clog gaps, eat space, fill assignments – do their jobs, essentially. You know, those are guys that guys team likes to have. Guys that can do that consistently. You like to have those guys sometime on day two. Solid starting guys that you don't have to worry about, aren't a liability. But then there's a difference between them and creators, you know. And in your typical class, you want, you know, guys like Aaron Donald and Geno Atkins, guys that can create negative plays behind the line of scrimmage, sacks or tackles for a loss, or even getting back there, rerouting, you know, consistent penetration. That can create consistent negativity for an offense. That kills offenses. I mean, you can't bounce back from that. Even in today's NFL, it's very, very difficult to bounce back from plays that lose yardage. So those kind of guys that can create that either on their own as the tackler or by penetration, by being disruptive, by pressuring the pocket consistently, those kind of guys are really valuable guys. And I don't know that I see Payne Daron Payne, who we're going to talk about in a little bit too, and Derek Nnadi. I don't know if I see them in that light, in that elite sense. Like, not in that, that's not really a knock. Again, like, these guys have starting ability in the NFL, I think. You know, they'll probably be rotated out on obvious passing downs, but teams are doing that a ton now anyway. I mean, even teams with good interior defensive linemen. So good players that can start in the NFL, can stop the run, can give you a little push, can hold their gap, but I don't see them as necessarily as creators. I'm okay with that, but we just got to quantify what their value could be to a team, I think.
Yeah, I get, and maybe, like I said before, maybe I was just spoiled yesterday because we were watching two of the better point of attack guys, and I was a little, when I was watching his tape, just a little taken back and like, just a little mad
out. I think you're right about Payne, though. You said to me before, when Payne can get a little bit high.
Yeah, so yeah, let's talk about him now.
Yeah, so I think you're right about that.
He's the guy who watched a couple of high school tapes of him and just a little background from his recruiting stuff, and like the weight that he's putting up bench wise lifting in high school is crazy, man. I think I saw him bench almost 60.
I think four. I found a site.
Okay, so it was something. Yeah, he was benching like mid 400s, near 500 pounds when he was in high school, and I'm noticing more and more the longer that I do this that colleges always teach players the way we would like them to, because at the end of the day, it is a these guys, like, let's face it, like, they might redshirt his freshman year. We might only get 2 years of production, actual production on the field out of him. This is a 4 or 5 star recruit. Then he's going to go to the NFL, blah, 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 all of this stuff. And coaches got to realize that they have to get the absolute most out of these highly talented guys as they possibly can. Helps with recruiting, helps with their production on the field, like all this stuff. So if you kind of like, if you devote a lot more to teaching and restructuring how a guy does what he does, that could take up a lot of time that you would rather him just maybe be more athletic or be just bigger than everybody else or stronger than everybody else and get the production that he needs. So I'm seeing that more and more at certain positions. And Payne's a guy who I noticed a little bit of that, and we talked about his strength a couple minutes ago, because when I watch him, he's not he's not too tall, right? I think he's like 6'2", right?
Payne's like 6'1", I think. But yeah, I mean, he's not.
Okay, so sure. Yeah, like 6'1",
6'2". 6'1 and a half, I think, NFL draft.
And
that hasn't met,
so. I'm noticing as I watch his tape that he almost, like, at 6'1", 6'2", I think you should be able to get pretty good leverage.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And he, I think he allows himself to be stood up almost on purpose because he knows how strong his upper body is. Yeah. Like, he wants to use his upper body strength, which is extremely impressive. But he wants to use his upper body strength more than he wants to, say, like, get leverage on somebody. And so I feel like he allows himself to lose leverage because he's so fast. And that's kind of like – I guess that's a – that was the first thing that I really noticed with him and kept noticing throughout his tape. And the one thing that I – one of the more pressing notes that I had for him is he just has to – like, he's just got to be better with leverage. He can't rely on that upper body strength as much. Like, you got to use it to your highest advantage. You could probably get in a shoulder high arm strength match, you know, chest strength back match with an offensive lineman, and Payne's probably going to win it more often than not. But I would rather you get low, use your legs first, and then when it comes time to push him off, you're already, say, like 2 yards into the backfield and you're just chucking this dude off because you put him on skates and it's that easy.
Right.
So
he has that type of power, and like you said,
he does.
Built-in leverage is there. You know, that's what I call when guys are – when you have short interior defensive linemen, I call it just built-in leverage, you know, because they automatically should have some type of an advantage there if they can consistently play that low. But I do think you're right that sometimes you'll see Payne's pad level elevate as the play goes on because he's just trying to – sometimes I think he's more preoccupied with wrecking his opponent than he is with getting off a block, getting penetration, making a tackle – you know, rerouting a back or something like that, because you're right, he is a power guy, and sometimes it's hard to get out of that mindset. Okay, you're not just bench pressing opponents, you're playing football here too. And especially when you don't get consistent snaps, you're just going and trying to make an impact. I think this season you're going to see him play a little bit more, although there'll still be a rotation, even with all the guys who graduated. But I think you're going to see him play a little bit more. I think they're going to lean pretty heavily on him. And if I'm correct, he's only just a true junior. And we've seen a lot of Alabama guys come back for a senior season. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't say Payne, you know, because here's the thing with Payne. He's going to be a really good college football player that probably will get like a second, probably third, somewhere in that, you know, that mid to late top 100.
Yeah, I don't see him getting much later than a second, though. I mean,
I don't see him getting much later. I don't see him getting much earlier, though. Like, that's my, you know, so he may want to come back, say, oh, I can, you know, do what John Allen did and come back and, you know, lock myself into the first round and yada, yada, yada. And he may try and come back and do something like that rather than come out and just be, you know, a day two pick.
Yeah. I don't know.
We've seen it happen with Alabama guys before.
I don't know how much potential the NFL draft advisory puts into their like what they tell players, but like I could see NFL teams being like, yeah, this kid's a no brainer. Just like, look at him. He's a former five star, you know, look how strong he is. Like we would overdraft him even if there's things that he still needs to work on. Cause I think that's a part of scouting that, we as the internet scouting community kind of overlook is that these NFL teams want to get these players on their teams. So, like, even if we say, oh, he has things that he needs to get better at, and because of that, you know, because of that and marry that with his production, he's probably like a third or fourth round pick, where in reality, like, people in the NFL are like, this kid's not getting past the second round because he's so naturally, like you said, built-in leverage, has the strength. You can coach that.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking about, oh, we haven't coached him yet. They're thinking about, let's get this guy on our team because he has rare natural build and just athleticism and strength. So I think that might be the case with Payne.
But remember Andrew Billings.
I don't know how much he – yeah, go on.
Well, remember Andrew Billings? We were like, I mean, power guy, clearly held the point of attack, did a lot of good things.
Uh-huh.
Teams didn't see him as a pass rusher, and he fell because of that. And so I think every year we see more – Jerron Reed was – there's no way Jerron Reed was not a first-round player. I mean, he was a better run stopper than both these guys we're talking about today. He was an absolute monster at the point of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell because he couldn't rush the passer. A'shaun Robinson was supposed to be a top 15 pick. He fell because he couldn't rush the passer. And those guys are solid day two guys. We saw it last. Jahlil Johnson fell to the first pick in the fourth round because he doesn't rush the passer. And we see a lot of guys like that fall over the past couple years that are terrific run defenders, but it's a passing league and teams need guys that can get after the quarterback. And when I watch Nadi and when I watch Payne in that regard, I see power rush ability, you know, push the pocket some ability if you catch a guy under his pads. That's a lot harder to do in the NFL as your only go-to move. And I don't know that I see elite athleticism. Payne might have more upside in this regard. I don't know that I see elite athleticism with either guy to say, you know what, if they just get a couple more moves –
right.
You know, this could be deadly for them, and they could be a big producer as a pass rusher. I'm not sure that I see either guy.
I think Payne's got more, I think, yeah.
And Payne cut down, too. Payne, we were just reading, he's at like 312 pounds. You know, and the coaches want him at 308. Right now he's cutting down, and he's benching and squatting more than he ever has. So he's adding the power and losing some weight. He was 350 pounds, I think I read, when he was in high school, a senior in high school. Now he's down to like 312 and they want him at like 308.
Man.
So, yeah, imagine facing that, 350 pounds in high school. But, yeah, he's a monster physically. And I think I'm excited to see him. Lower weight, more reps. He's talked about adding explosiveness, and that's been his focus this offseason. Maybe he becomes more of that. I mean, Alabama's had these guys that are in such typical molds. Yeah, Jonathan Allen was maybe a little bit smaller than their typical, but they have these, you know, squatty, powerful type of defensive linemen who are terrific at the point of attack, terrific run stoppers, good technically with their hands, but they just aren't typically very refined as pass rushers. John Allen had all the moves, but Dalvin Tomlinson, A'shaun Robinson, Jerron Reed, those guys were power pass rushers, if anything, you know, and a lot of their pass rush ability was underdeveloped, and they play in the SEC, so it's going to be the case, especially when they rotate guys out as often as they do. So I think if that's your typical Alabama defensive lineman, it's typically not a high ceiling guy. But Payne could be the exception if he's able to cut down and we're able to see some more added explosiveness. So I'm going to reserve complete judgment on him, I guess, based on what we haven't seen at this point with him in terms of snap count and in terms of him playing at a lower weight.
Yeah, that's kind of the narrative with the Alabama guys. But you're right. You got to be a pass rusher if you want to get drafted high. I guess it's plain and simple. You know,
we talk about guys. It seems that way anyway.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the draft is more and more about taking the guys who do the right things for a football team rather than maybe like some of the strengths that they have that are really good. I think specializing in roles is important and becoming more important in, say, things like a running back position or even now. Not even now we're seeing in, like, a cornerback position, like playing nickel corner or something like that. But in terms of defensive line, I guess the NFL is still the thought of this is the NFL and we can always get big boys to eat up blocks. We want to pick the players who can rush the passer. Yeah. So. Yeah, both these guys kind of gonna have to show more than that, but you know they got another year to do it. So,
and both of them are playing next to, you know, good players all over the defense. Sure. But I mean, sure. You know, Josh Sweat's on that Florida State defensive mm-hmm. line, and DeMarcus Christmas. I think wasn't his older brother there a couple years ago? Was it Rakeem Christmas or something? I forget, but I think he was there a couple years ago. I can't remember. And then. Deron Payne over at Alabama has got Josh Frazier next to him. We've gotten to see very little of because of the rotation there. And of course, Deshaun Hand, another five-star guy. We talked about him when we talked about the edge guys, but he's mm-hmm. going to be playing one of the DN spots. He'll probably play some inside. Yep. So there's a ton of talent on this, obviously. I mean, you know, it's Alabama and Florida State. So you're going to have great groups around you, which means, and again, this was something it's talked about every year in these guys for the draft, you know, the great groups around them. Teams didn't get to focus on them, yada, yada, yada. And I think that both these guys are going to be in that situation where it's going to be hard for teams to just focus on them and try and take them away. And both have the skill sets to be able to have really nice years. But again, if there's one thing, if both are interested in elevating their draft stock, I think they've got to show diversity, versatility, athleticism, upside, any of those things as a pass rusher. I think if they want to be first round picks, I think they'll get tons of hype. Tons of hype through the season, tons of hype in the offseason. They'll test just okay, and then we'll see them get drafted sometime on day two, and they'll be solid starters in the NFL. And not sexy picks, but good, reliable starters. That's what you should be looking for on day two, I think.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yep. Maybe Payne shows a little bit of upside, and then we're talking
lower
about speaking in the first round.
If they want to play him more of a penetrating role, too, they want to tell him to pin his ears back more. And that's something, too. You know, a couple of these guys taped – their role could adjust in their last year. You know, we're watching them and telling you what we hope to see from them more going into this final season. Well, they might do that because their role might even be different. You know, Payne was playing at a much higher weight last year. He was in a full rotation with obviously tons of Alabama pass rushers that are no longer there. Mm-hmm. And that could all go into the fact that they want him to now be one of those players that gets to the quarterback. And we might see him have the opportunity to do that. So, sometimes it's even just in the roles you have, because it was kind of clear that Alabama sets those up a little bit. You know, they let guys get one-on-ones here and there. They like to attack the pocket from different areas, but there's certainly players that they have on the field just to eat up blocks or stay in a certain position. So, and I'm sure that's the same with Florida State too. So we'll have to see with both these guys if their roles change at all, maybe allow them to become better pass rushers and more premier pass rushers to get drafted a little higher.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key for both of them in terms of their stock. I think, like I said, we'll hear them talked about a lot, but I think when push comes to shove, they'll end up being guys that teams value probably a little bit less than the average fan does, based on what we've seen recently anyway. We've got a couple Ohio State guys that we've got to talk about. Before. There's two redshirt sophomores, Robert Landers and Draymond Jones. I don't know whether either are going to come out, but both could be starting over Michael Hill, who's a redshirt senior who's already getting some draft buzz. So that's a good group they've got there. Again, those two guys pretty young still, but last year, first year starters, first year playing, really some impressive stuff. And I think Draymond Jones especially already getting some hype, 6'3", 295. Reggie McKenzie over at Tennessee. Your boy Mac, we got to talk about all these guys tomorrow or any
– Yep.
Any yep. number of them. Lakotor over at LSU was hurt last year, is another guy that could be on the radar.
Yeah, we're going to talk about everybody tomorrow.
Yeah. So we got to wrap it up tomorrow. But yeah, so we've talked about, who have we talked about so far? We've talked about Naughty Wilkins. And Payne today. Wilkins. We talked about Wilkins and who else did we talk about? Maurice Hurst, who I think had the most pass rush ability. So if you're talking about draft stock going up, I think those two guys yes. could be up in that regard. We talked about
Lutulele.
Yeah, Lutulele and Vitavea. So we've talked about six studs who I think are all going to be good starters in the NFL. I really do. It's hard for me to look at any of these guys and be like, no, dude, I don't understand the hype at all. You know, they're all very good at least what they're asked to do. And so I think that I see a lot of potential with that group.
Doesn't mean all of them would get drafted high, but right. I think I would agree. I think they're NFL players.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been like disappointed by any of them on tape. I should say that. So we'll be back tomorrow. We'll wrap up the interior defensive line class, then a Fan Friday. We're going to take your questions on all things, as always, as we always do, but especially any questions you may have on interior defensive line.
History prospects. Questions, history. Life questions.
I don't know if we're taking Mike Kiss questions anymore. I'll talk more about that on Friday, but I've got a bone to pick with him.
He's going to be so hurt to hear you say that.
His movie takes have me just a little peeved.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
I didn't see him.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about it on Friday because
okay. All right.
It's bad, man. You're going to need a couple days. I may tell you today so you can prepare yourself for a reaction on Friday because it's that bad. Yeah, it's terrible.
Wow.
Yep. So, so make sure you guys stick with us throughout the rest of the week as we wrap things up. And as always, keep it locked right here, baby, on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.